This audiobook was generated using artificial intelligence, so errors may occur during narration. If you notice any, please contact us so we can make the necessary corrections. Thank you for your support, and may God bless you.
An appeal for missions. Perils of this time. Satan is busily laying his plans for the last mighty conflict, when all will take sides. After the gospel has been proclaimed in the world for nearly 2,000 years, Satan still presents to men and women the same scene that he presented to Christ. In a wonderful manner, he causes the kingdoms of the world in their glory to pass before them. These he promises to all who will fall down and worship him. He claims to be the Prince of Heaven. He presents before men entrancing views of the kingdom of God, and claims that these are views of his kingdom. Thus he works to bring men under his dominion. Listen to the voices, mark the powers, that prevail in the world. Is there any voice of prayer? Do you see any sign that God is recognized? There are priests, plenty of them, but they are trampling under their feet the law of Jehovah. Their garments are stained with the blood of souls. Multitudes are sacrificing to devils. Look, you who are hesitating between obedience and disobedience, look in imagination at the vast multitudes worshiping at Satan's altar. Listen to the music, to the language, called higher education. But what does God declare it? Men in their blindness boast of wonderful progress and enlightenment, but to the eye of omniscience is revealed the inward guilt and depravity. The heavenly watcher sees the earth filled with violence and crime. Wealth is obtained by every species of robbery, not robbery of men only, but of God. Men are using his means to gratify their selfishness. Everything they can grasp is made to minister to their greed. Avarice and sensuality prevail. Men revenge themselves on those who, they suppose, have hindered the success of their ambitious projects. They cherish the attributes of the first great deceiver. They have accepted him as God and have become imbued with his spirit. Satan is working to the utmost to make himself as God and to destroy all who oppose his power. And today the world is bowing before him. His power is received as the power of God. It seems that the whole human creation has wondered after the beast. The kings and rulers of the earth, those who are called noblemen, think themselves altogether too great to submit to the yoke of Christ. But they are willing to bow at Satan's bidding. Behold Satan's miracle-working power. Every object in the earth, in the air, and in the water has been employed to confirm his claims. Those who yield to these claims are alive with intense activity, one influencing and stimulating another by confirming the greatness and glory of their kingdom. See the activity, the restless surging of the mass in their determination to take and occupy the place of the throne of God. What eagerness, what rage, they exhibit in their religious enthusiasm. Mark the defiant rebellion written in their countenances. Their warfare is against their Creator and Redeemer. How vast is the procession they form! How mighty they think themselves to be in their countless numbers! But they do not see all things. The cloud of judicial wrath hangs over them, containing the elements that destroyed Sodom. John saw this multitude. This demon worship was revealed to him, and it seemed as if the whole world were standing on the brink of perdition. But as he looked with intense interest, he beheld a company of God's commandment-keeping people. They had upon their foreheads the seal of the living God, and he exclaimed, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And I looked, and behold a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. When the storm of God's wrath breaks upon the world, it will be a terrible revelation for souls to find that their house is being swept away, because it is built upon the sand. Let the warning be given them before it is too late. We should now feel the responsibility of laboring with intense earnestness to impart to others the light we have received. We cannot be too much in earnest. Even those who have felt much have not felt enough. They must feel still more deeply. The heart of God is moved. Souls are very precious in His sight. It was for this world that Christ wept in agony. For this world He was crucified. God gave His only begotten Son to save sinners, and He desires us to love others as He has loved us. He desires to see those who have had great light flashing that light upon the pathway of their fellow men. As you see the peril and misery of the world under the working of Satan, do not exhaust your God-given energies in idle lamentations, but go to work for yourselves and for others. It is fitting for us to weep as Christ wept, but let us weep to some purpose. Awake, and feel a burden for those that are perishing. If they are not one to Christ, they will lose an eternity of bliss. Think of what it is possible for them to gain. The soul that God has created and Christ redeemed is of great value because of the possibilities before it, the spiritual advantages that have been granted it, the capabilities it may possess if vitalized by the Word of God, and the immortality which through the life-giver it may gain if obedient. One soul is of more value to heaven than a whole world of property, houses, lands, money. If the sacrifice were essential for the salvation of one soul, it would be the duty of the inhabitants of the earth to sell their possessions in order to secure that soul for eternity. For the conversion of one soul, we should tax our resources to the utmost. One soul won to Christ will flash heaven's light all around him, penetrating the moral darkness and saving other souls. Thus, 2, 5, 10 talents will accumulate and double. This is not an exaggeration. If Christ left the 99 that he might seek and save the one lost sheep, shall we be justified in doing less? God himself set an example of self-sacrifice in giving up his Son to a shameful death. Is not a neglect to work even as Christ worked, to sacrifice as he sacrificed, a betrayal of sacred trusts, an insult to God? The lost sheep is to be found at any peril, any cost. The cities must have more labor. There are places where the people can best be reached by open-air meetings. There are many who can do this line of work, but they must be clad with the whole armor of righteousness. We are altogether too delicate in our work, yet propriety and sound sense are needed. A great work is to be accomplished by personal labor. Much is comprehended in the command, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." There is a work to be done in this line that has not yet been done. Let the Bible be read to those who will hear it. Let God's workers teach the truth in families, with earnest prayer drawing close to the people. If they thus cooperate with God, He will clothe them with spiritual power. The Holy Spirit works with him who opens the Scriptures to others. It is our part to give the word to the people. We are to sow the seed. We know not which shall prosper, whether this or that, but God will give the increase. No district is to be neglected. Any region that is left in darkness testifies to our unfaithfulness. Those who know the truth are not to call for constant labor from the ministers. Let the believers, so far as possible, do the work of the church and keep up the meetings, leaving the ministers free to labor in new fields. In the 3rd chapter of Malachi is instruction for us at this time. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God, and him that serveth him not. Sound an alarm throughout the length and the breadth of the earth. Tell the people that the day of the Lord is near, and hasteth greatly. Let none be left unwarned. We might have been in the place of the poor souls that are in the darkness of error. We might have been placed amidst barbarism. According to the light we have received above others, we are debtors to impart the same to them. The day star has risen upon us. Let us flash the light upon the pathway of those in darkness.